So good evening. Here it's the second day, and this is a very, very powerful session for those that I've seen, some of you, you know, have talked to me about changes that have taken place in your life. And see, if you can begin to understand just this much from an intellectual, basis. See, you aren't here, you aren't practicing a Buddha Dharma, to have some kind of a big psychedelic experience. You're actually practicing to have your lives transformed. And some of you will simply sit there rigidly holding on to your belief patterns. And I follow the one physicist who simply was pointing out that anything you believe is wrong. Now, the sixth patriarch would always start by telling people, purify the mind, before he would talk, purify the mind. How do I purify the mind? Get quiet. Get quiet. See, don't try to understand this talk. The fact that you think you need to interpret and hold a conversation with yourself while I'm giving this talk already tells me that you don't get it. You think this most amazing Buddha mind, Buddha means awake, can't understand simple English words? You think you're delusional behind your eyeballs. See, talking to yourself, trapped in your belief system, somehow or another, can actually grasp what's being said? Your belief system is based upon duality. See, duality. What is duality? The three poisons of Buddha Dharma: greed, anger, and ignorance. See, now what do you think? Ignorance means, oh, I don't know anything, I'm dumb, I have no book. Well, those things are true for me. But that isn't what ignorance is about. Ignorance is about what you're experiencing in this room. You're sitting here thinking that you are separate from anything in this room. That's ignorance. The experience of duality, of separation. And that separation gives rise to your greed. Why greed? Because if you're separate from everything in this room, you have to make certain that you take care of yourself. Just in case. Just in case. See, things don't go your way. I've got to get more for myself. And greed, is deep. It's penetrating. It is even terribly, terribly subtle. Your greed, wanting to reach out and pull something more into me. Until, you will literally, cause pain and suffering for anyone trying to make yourself feel safe. And if you're frustrated in that, your anger rises. And I give you again, I give you the world we're living in. And you don't need, and you can't find any clear example of the insanity, of your discriminating consciousness. I've said this over and I'll say it over and over again until you get it. The smart people are the ones running the world. The smart people are the ones running the United States. They've got the big IQs. And then if you could have had the good fortune of sitting with my teacher, he would say to me, Nyogen, no matter how brilliant and benign, the dualistic mind, it will always cause problems. Even those with the best of intentions will cause problems. If you begin to experiencing yourself, or if you are experiencing yourself as separate, which we are, and this is the realm of samsara, and it doesn't matter how wonderful you are, it doesn't matter how benign you are, or how smart you are, ultimately, greed will override all other considerations. That, you know, are there people who are somewhat benign and yes, and brilliant, yes. They cause less harm, but they will always cause some harm. And you can begin to watch the rationalization and watch yourself rationalize. Begin to rationalize even deeds that cause pain and suffering. You will rationalize. See, so long as there is the shadow of this self. See, do you know the whole teaching of Buddha Dharma? It's selfless. It's selfless. What does that mean? See, that if you can actually enter into the place, see, of no self. And again, if you're trying to understand this intellectually, you will never grasp it. See, you will never grasp it. It is a practice. And that's what this old master was talking about and what he was simply saying. And yet, he probably just got sick and tired of giving talks. Those of you who have worked with koans, you'll know that they'll have koans where the old master will not have spoken. See, for a long time, and the monks come in and they plead with him, please, please, you haven't talked for eons and eons, you haven't said a word. See, and finally, he staggers out onto the stage and he looks out at everybody and he probably, see, waves of nausea slipping through his body. And he looks out and he goes, and he gets down and he leaves. There are koans like that. See. And the monk said, what are you doing? He said, what do you ask of me? I'm a Zen master. I expressed it totally, completely. You can't do it any clearer than that. See. But what is he talking about? What is he talking about? Is he talking about the religion of Buddhism? Buddhism isn't a religion. Has it been turned into religion, institutionalized? Yes. See, and I'm willing to even cut other religions a little slack here. But the fact is, maybe sometime, someplace in their early history, there was a spark, see, of actualization, of realization, see, of enlightenment. But what has happened, even with Buddha Dharma, see, it's turned into a religion by followers who have never attained the way. See, and they, with good intentions, see, they'll try to build a structure. See, they'll try to build something, and pretty soon, what becomes the most important part of it is the structure, not the living word, not the great teaching. Buddha didn't establish a religion. He was a guy who had lots of benefits. He was born into royalty. He had all of the bucks he needed. He had a dad that loved him. Oh yes, his mother passed away early, but he had his nanny. I think it was his auntie. See, and they took beautiful care of him. They kept only the most beautiful people. I keep telling Mushoku I want to work toward this for myself here. See, just the best of everything. See, I want just the youngest people. I want the most entertaining people. I don't want any mirrors because I want them all to tell me, you're beautiful, you never age. See, I want that. That's what Buddha had. But somehow, see, somehow, if you're sensitive, you'll realize after you've sat and you've kicked on the laptop, the tablet, your phone for the 18,000th hour, and you realize, what am I getting out of all of this? What am I getting? What do you ever get tired of entertaining yourself? See, of entertaining yourself with trivia. Have you gotten tired in this second day of the trivia in your mind? How many of you are going through the same old fantasies? Be honest with yourself. Roshi's first admonition, no self-deception. If you can't be honest with yourself, see, you're hopeless. You're lost. Because if you think that the teacher is going to give you something, see, you're totally deluded. The great Wang Po and addressing Wangpo Obaku, see, the teacher of Rinzai, see, part of our lineage, see, Roshi inherited through Rinzai Soto, see, the great teacher, looks out at me and says, why are you here? I have nothing to give you. And he says, I have no dogma or doctrine to give you. No religion. They were in a monastery. Why do we have this? This is a template. This is a raft. This is what Buddha established. He didn't establish an institutional Buddhism with rigid rules. See, that this is what you have to do. You have to attain the great morality. See, what Buddha gave us is a template, a raft. It will allow you, see, the freedom to begin to explore the insanity of your delusional mind. And it is. It's schizophrenic. It's at war with itself. It's fragmented. This is a template. You come into this center. You have to follow the rules and the regulations. Why? Not because there's something sacred and holy. You can sit and pray till you're blue in the face, and you will never experience enlightenment. See, what this makes you do is you have to settle down with things as they are, not the way you want them to be. See, if you want a more luxurious place, go to the Scorpion. Hoso has just an absolutely amazing place to practice. See? But here, we're a little more hardcore. See? See? And the point, see, is that you have to begin to adjust to the way things are, not the way you want them to be. See? The way things are. See? And that's rather difficult. See, until you wake up to the reality that you do not, and wake up like Shakyamuni did, see, where he jumped over the wall. What wall does he jump over? He jumps over the dualistic wall. The wall of duality. That there is his life and there is something else that cannot touch him. No. See, we are all, see, on the karmic wheel. Pain and suffering. See, this is what you're going to know. And no one will escape this. Right in this room, every one of you, you're growing older by the instant. See, already you're older. And you are also closer to your death. See, closer to your death. See, that's your future. That's what you have waiting for you. Now you tell me, what kind of rules and regulations, what kind of services can you produce? See, what kind of dogma can you follow that will change that reality? None. Wang Po said that, see. He says, I have no dogma. I have no doctrine to give you. They said, well, why are we here? What do you do? I show you a pathway to enlightenment. Well, what is that? It's very simple. Don't think about your thoughts. Shakyamuni Buddha, see, he was just a guy that woke up one day and looked around and says, oh my God, it's a parable, it's a wonderful story, but everyone in this room that is making a serious effort is actually taking this very same journey. See? And what happens when you wake up? In this room, see, we've had people with cancer. One of our monks, see, has a lymphoma. See, that isn't the way he planned it. I don't think somebody else in here planned their cancer. As a matter of fact, this person that I talked to told me it was a frightening ordeal. See, it isn't the way we want it. No, but it's the way it is. If you voluntarily come into a program like this, It isn't the way you want it. You don't want three or four people snoring and farting in the bedroom with you. See, you'd prefer, see, a private quarters. But that isn't the way it is. See, you deal with how it is. You wake up in the now. And so long as you stay trapped in your mind complaining about the conditions you find yourself immersed in, see, you will always be in pain and suffering. But if you can begin to put that down, see, if you can begin to allow the ruminating mind to drop away, then you're going to find out something quite remarkable about yourself. See? And it cannot be found in rigid, inflexible rules. See, we're talking about freedom. See? Now look out at the world at large. Now, you tell me where there is any institutionalized religion where there's freedom, where there's absolute charity. We talked about Donna the other evening. Donna. See, translated here because this is the mentality, see, of charity. Donna is relinquishment. See, relinquishment. See, giving up what? Giving up the dualistic mind. See. So I say it again. Buddhism is not a religion. Buddha did not establish a religion. Buddha found himself trapped in pain and suffering. He looked out and he saw that in Los Angeles, 52,000 children, basically homeless. He said, oh, that hurts. Can that happen to anyone? Yeah, and they can't protect themselves. Yeah, oh, God, that's pretty cool. Maybe I'll go out to Beverly Hills so I don't have to see the hunger, to see the panic, the fear. See? So he goes out there and he's driving along. He pulls up and he sees a guy lying in the gutter. Oh, what's that? That's a homeless person who's sick. See, I used to work in the field. See, living out on the street, California used to be much easier, but if you lived in the Midwest and back East, you know life expectancy living on the street? 3.5 years. Whoa! See, what's... See, can that happen to anyone? Yeah, just a little twist, a little negative karma, and any one of you in this room can find yourself on the street. I came by a situation some years ago, see, when this was first starting. You've all heard it, see? And I was watching. It was an interesting thing. There was a little woman, an old woman, and I'm telling you a true story, see? A true story. When the things collapsed, and I was downtown because I used to be Skid Row, was part of my, from the Barrios, Skid Row, on up through Hollywood. This was my beat. This is where I supervised. See, and I was there, and there on the street was a little old woman, white-haired, a Caucasian woman, and she had that white, blued hair like my grandmother had. True story. And there was a young black guy was showing her how to put cardboard, stacking the cardboards on the cement because she was going to be sleeping there that night. See, any one of you can find, but his was an act of compassion. And it's a kind of compassion that only can come from a place of helplessness and hopelessness. Despair. Can you grasp? What do you do when there is no out? You have no hope. That's what it's like to be on the street. See, and don't make light of suffering. That's samsara. And I wished I could tell you, samsara is going to get better next week. It isn't. You will never correct samsara. But what you can do as a practitioner, you can reduce the suffering. And that's the best we can hope for samsara. So as I look out into samsara, what's the teaching of the Buddha? See, that I have to transform this, see, into a Buddha field. See, and you cannot understand what that is. Now, all of the teachings, see, all of the sutras, see, all of the great teachings, what the Shakyamuni Buddha taught, see, we taught but one thing, see, all Buddhas, all sentient beings are nothing but the one mind, besides which nothing exists. All Buddhas, all sentient beings are nothing but the one mind, see, beside which nothing exists. See? And what this simply means, there is nothing outside, see, of this one mind. See, this is the teaching. See, this is, there is nothing outside of this one mind. Where is this one mind? If you even ask that question, you're totally blind.